The stock market is too high. We're due for a crash. This time it's different. These are phrases I've heard in every single decade of my career as a financial advisor. And I've been doing this since 1997. But here's the shocking truth. If you had invested $10,000 in the market each time someone claimed it was too high over the last 30 years, you'd be a millionaire today. So in this episode, we're going to show you why the market's climb isn't just luck, and how understanding its true drivers can transform your financial future. So for the sake of time, let's dive right into it. Well, welcome back to another episode of Wealth Decisions. If you're here for the first time, you're in for a great episode. Today, we're tackling one of the most common questions I get from both new and experienced investors. Can the stock market continue to go up? But more importantly, what drives its long-term growth? So first, let's just start with a fundamental truth. The stock market isn't just a random number generator or a gambling machine. It represents ownership in real businesses that produce real goods and services. And when you buy stocks, you're buying a piece of human innovation, productivity, and earnings growth. Here are the three primary drivers of the stock market growth. First, there's corporate earnings growth. And companies generally become more efficient and productive over time, and that can lead to higher profits. Also, innovation. Think about how a company like Apple has evolved from selling computers in a garage to becoming a global technology giant. And this isn't just about one company. It's about just the collective improvement in how businesses operate. And when you look at corporate earnings so far in the fourth quarter of last year, roughly 65% of the companies in the S&P 500 have announced fourth quarter results. And those earnings are on pace to grow by roughly 16% year over year. So if the current growth rate holds, it would be the strongest rate since 2021. And of the companies that have reported, roughly 77% have exceeded analyst expectations for their earnings, and by an average margin of about 7.5%. Healthy earnings growth is expected to carry over into this year, with most analysts expecting earnings growth to be around 13%. But let's take the temperature. The metric commonly used to gauge the temperature of the market is the PE, or price to earnings ratio. And you can have this ratio calculated for individual companies, both for an actual index as well. So let's just look at the S&P 500. The current PE of the S&P 500 is about 26. And the forward PE, which is looking at next year's earnings, is about 24. So to put that into perspective, the 30-year average of the S&P is about 16.2. So is the stock market overvalued, or does the growth in earnings justify a higher PE than average? That is the big question. The one thing I've learned through my 25 years as a financial advisor is that the stock market always goes up more than anyone thinks, and tends to go down more than anyone thinks during downturns. But if earnings continue to be good and interest rates continue to come down, the market could continue to climb higher. How high? No one really knows, but the economy is growing and companies are doing very well. For instance, in 1999, the PE ratio was 34, and it peaked at nearly 47 2 years later. Now, we all remember what happened in March of 2000. If you were investing back then, or whether you were not, that was the tech bust. And technology stocks continued to go down, not just in 2000, but in 2001 and 2002. The market was very, very overheated. and the PE ratio was almost more than double, almost triple what it normally is. So despite kind of a volatile start to 2025, the stock market is up so far this year. And the drivers of performance this year have been much broader than in 2024 and 2023, which is a good sign. It's not just been led by the mega cap technology stocks that have led the market higher. Value stocks actually have risen more than growth stocks, which hasn't happened in quite a while. So earnings for value stocks didn't do very well in 2023 and were roughly flat in 2024. But growth stocks had double-digit earnings growth. That's probably why the S&P 500, which is predominantly large cap growth, did so well in 2023 and 2024. But estimates are calling for double-digit earnings growth in both growth and value stocks, which will pave the way for just a more balanced performance and more market breadth, which I like to see. So it's probably smart to have a blend of both growth and value stocks. If you're overweighted in growth stocks, it might be time to look at some value opportunities. Another primary driver of long-term stock market growth is economic growth and innovation. You know, new technologies, products, and services are continuously creating new markets and opportunities. You know, 20 years ago, who could have predicted the size of the social media industry or the rise of electric vehicles? You know, innovation creates entirely new sectors for investment and growth. And the third primary driver of long-term stock market growth is population growth and expanding of global markets. As more and more people in the world enter the middle class, particularly in developed nations, they become consumers and investors. And that drives demand for goods, services, and investments. So let's just look at a concrete kind of example. And this might seem weird, but imagine if your grandmother had invested $10,000 in a diversified stock portfolio in 1980. And despite the 87 crash, the dot-com bubble, the 2008 financial crisis, and the 2020 pandemic, that investment would have grown to approximately $400,000 by 2024. But here's what's really fascinating. During that same period, we saw the fall of the Soviet Union, multiple wars, several recessions, numerous political crises, natural disasters, and a global pandemic. Yet the market continued its upward trajectory. I always tell clients the market is like permanent ups and temporary downs. Why did the market continue to do well despite all those events? Because human innovation didn't stop, productivity growth didn't stop, and the expansion of the global markets didn't stop. Now, you might be thinking, but Brian, things are different this time. We have inflation, a possible war on tariffs, political change, etc. And you're right, we do face some unique challenges. But every generation has faced its own set of problems, and we've overcome them, and the markets have gone on higher over the long term. You can be worried about artificial intelligence maybe disrupting jobs, or climate change affecting economies, or maybe even geopolitical tensions. And these are all valid concerns, but they're also drivers of innovation and new opportunities. Instead of focusing on some of these challenges, consider just how climate change concerns accelerate investment in renewable energy, you know, creating new industries and opportunities, or how AI, while disruptive, is also driving productivity gains that could lead to higher, you know, corporate profits and even new business models. So what does this all mean for you as an investor? Here are five actionable strategies to implement today. Number one, take the long view. Instead of trying to time the market or get out at a market high because you think the market is overvalued. Focus on the time in the market. The time in the market to reach your long-term goals. You know, create an investment timeline that matches your goals and not your fears. If you're 20 years from retirement, your investment strategy should reflect that long-term perspective. If you're overweighted in growth or tech, consider diversifying into some value investments. Growth isn't always the best place to have your money, especially when things get a little rocky. So consider creating a strategy to diversify into value, and that would be small cap value, mid cap value, and large cap value. Number two, continue to dollar cost average if you have money available. You know, rather than trying to perfectly time your investments, set up automatic monthly investments. This type of approach allows you to buy more shares when prices are low and fewer when they're high. And this potentially can reduce your average cost over time and takes advantage of any volatility. Number three, diversify globally. Don't limit yourself to just the U.S. Global diversification gives you exposure to growth opportunities across the world and can help reduce your portfolio's overall risk. Number four, focus on quality. Invest in companies or ETFs that invest in companies that have strong fundamentals, competitive advantage, and solid management teams. If you're buying individual stocks, you need to know those companies, and quality tends to survive and thrive through all market cycles. And number five, try to keep your costs as low as possible. Use low-cost index funds or ETFs when possible. The less you pay in fees, the more of your market's return you get to keep. So remember, the stock market's long-term growth isn't about blind optimism. It's about understanding the fundamental drivers of value creation. You know, human innovation, productivity growth, and global markets that are expanding. Short-term volatility is always going to be there. Volatility is the price you pay to get rewarded with returns over time. And when you look at the market, we have on average about 3-5% drops in any given year and 1-10% correction per year. And despite that, the markets continue to go higher over the long term. The long-term trend has historically just rewarded patient, disciplined investors. So can the stock market continue to go up? As long as earnings growth continues to accelerate, the economy continues to grow, interest rates continue to come down with the Fed on our side, inflation gets to the target that the Fed wants it to be at, the market can continue to go higher. How high is the bigger question? The key in any type of market environment is to check in with your portfolio from time to time. Make sure you're not taking on too much risk, that you're not chasing performance of one particular area like large cap growth or technology, and maintain a diversified portfolio. Make sure you have some money outside of the United States, where valuations are much more attractive. Also, make sure you have some value investments in your portfolio. Value stocks are very attractive compared to growth. And historically, they have much less volatility and can be a nice diversifier for your portfolio. Chasing high momentum growth stocks or technology stocks can sometimes be a recipe for disaster. We've seen it many times in history. So check in with your portfolio. Make sure you have the appropriate mix for your stage in life and risk tolerance, because being proactive is one of the smartest things that you can do. It's one of the hardest things because it's really tough because of the FOMO effect. We all have this fear of missing out on the growth, especially in things like technology. But risk management is what's going to help you build and keep more of your wealth over time. Having a diversified portfolio doesn't protect your portfolio from going down temporarily during a market correction or bear market. But what it does is cushion the blow. A properly diversified portfolio will protect your portfolio so that you have less to recover from and have a better chance of reaching all of your most important goals. So that's it for today's episode. Can the stock market continue to go up? And if you like this episode, please rate the episode, make some comments, and hit the notification bell to get updated on future Wealth Decision podcasts. And please, if you could, share it with a family member or a friend. My goal with the Wealth Decisions podcast is to reach over 100,000 people by the end of the year in the Twin Cities and beyond, so that people can make better wealth decisions to live a richer life. If you'd like to schedule a discovery call with me, you can go to my website at momentouswealthadvisors.com, and I'll spend some time to get to know you a little bit and find out if I might be able to steer you in the right direction or help you with your financial future. And once again, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.